Okay, so we are up to the sixth chapter, which is entitled Gilgulim and Reframing. The Sefer Divrei Yeshua v'Nechama told a story that took place many years ago in Gateshead, England. A baby with Down syndrome was born to a couple. They raised the child and loved him very much amid a large family of healthy children. When the Down syndrome child was turning 13, his parents decided to make him a small bar mitzvah celebration. The father invited a minion of men to the Suda at his home, among whom the author who recorded this story. During the meal, the Rosh Hashiva of Gated, Rav Leib Gurwitz, got up to speak. This is what he said. At this time in history, we are all Gilgulim, which means we have all already lived in this world before, and we had to come back here to fix something we didn't accomplish the first time. If there is a person who was born with tremendous potential, for example, he is wise and strong-minded and has charisma, that means he has a lot that he needs to accomplish here that he did not do the first time. But if there's a person who has very little potential, his body doesn't really develop, or he doesn't have the mental capacity to do very much, that means he is a Gilgul of a very great tzaddik who almost finished his job already before. He came back to make some minor corrections, perhaps to say some brachos or to do some acts of kindness, or perhaps just to be the vehicle through whom others can perform kindness. For sure, this type of a person needs to do much less than others to be able to live on forever in Olam Haba. The less capabilities a person is born with, the better his neshama already is. The rabbi then concluded his speech by saying, "Fortunate are you, the parent of such a lofty neshama. You were chosen to be the guardian of this great tzaddik, which means he will be in your family, amongst your children, not only here, but in the world to come as well, and there you will see how great he really is." The parents were noticeably emotional from the rabbi's words, and they thanked him very much for coming and for his heartwarming words of chizuk. The father then took his bar mitzvah boy to Israel to receive brachos from Gedolei Hador. He went with his son to the Chazon Ish, and when they entered the room, the Chazon Ish immediately stood up fully from his chair. The man was astounded. He turned around to see if there was another great rabbi coming in behind him. When he saw no one, he assumed that the Chazon Ish stood up for him. "Rabbi," the man said, "please don't get up for me." "I'm standing up for your son," replied the Chazon Ish. "This boy has one of the greatest neshamas in our entire generation. He is deserving of honor." We have no idea of how great people really are. A parent who may feel broken over his child's lack of development or lack of ability must know that he is raising a very holy tzaddik, and he will be zocha to have the child and his family lenetzach netzachim forever. The Zohar relates that the concept of Gilgulim through a pasuk in Parsha Mishpatim that introduces many of the Torah civil law. The Degel Machaneh Ephraim explains the connection. There are times when a person is rightfully entitled to compensation. The Torah law will not require the other party to pay. The Zohar teaches that this happens because of the larger picture, because of events in previous Gilgulim of which we are unaware. This concept comes to light in a famous story told in the Baal Shem Tov. Interestingly, it is quoted by both the Chafetz Chaim and the Rav Elazar Papo in Peleot. The Baal Shem Tov was once visiting a certain wealthy merchant who was a dear friend of his. While he was there, he noticed a young horse. He asked his host if he could have it as a gift. The merchant respectfully refused, noting the horse's great value. It was capable of performing the work of four ordinary horses. The Baal Shem Tov then asked if instead he could go through the man's IOU documents and take one as a gift. Naturally, the man was fearful that the rabbi might seize control over a large debt owed to him. Nevertheless, he reluctantly agreed. The Baal Shem Tov went through the man's documents, took one piece of paper, and showed it to the man. "Can I take this one?" he asked. The merchant took one quick glance at the document and breathed a sigh of relief. "Certainly," he said. "This is the debt owed by somebody who died years ago. I'll never get that money back anyhow." The rabbi thanked the man, took the paper, and tore it into pieces. The man then brought the rabbi outside to see the horses and discovered, to his dismay, that his prize horse had suddenly died. He turned to the rabbi and asked for an explanation. The Baal Shem Tov told him that the man who owed him that debt returned to the world as a hard-working horse in order to pay off his debt through his work. Once the debt was transferred to the rabbi, who tore up the document and waived the debt, the horse no longer had to work, and so it died. Of course, we are not the Baal Shem Tov, and thus we are not privy to this information. But stories like this remind us that there is a far more to everything that happens than meets the eye. And if we would see the full picture, we would see how it all makes perfect sense. So 25 years ago, somebody I know very well was in his 20s and looking to get married. He was studying in Lakewood, and every week or two he drove to Brooklyn for a date. Nothing worked out. After dating around 30 or 40 girls, he felt very depressed and went to Rav Mordechai Schwab of Muncie for advice and encouragement. On Purim, we wear masks, the rabbi told him. But the truth is, we wear masks all the time. I don't really know who I am or who you are. We don't know who we were in our previous lives. It is possible that in the previous life, this young man was a boss who mistreated his secretaries, and maybe he fired 40 women for no legitimate reason. He was thus required to spend some time with each of their descendants, giving them attention and respect to rectify the damage he had done in his previous life. In order to facilitate this process, Hashem sent Shadchanim to suggest that he date these women who had been reincarnated. Once we understand the concept of Gilgulim, it becomes easier to accept life's challenges and difficulties. Indeed, Rav Yaakov Hillel, one of the greatest Kabbalists of our time, remarked that this is the very reason for which the great Mekubalim revealed the concept of Gilgulim to us, so that we would understand that we don't understand, that there is so much hidden background to everything that happened. This is especially true in our times, with Mashiach's imminent arrival and the complete clarity that it will bring. The purpose of all the tragedies that appear to have no explanation, Holocaust, terror attacks, and so on, will become clear. But for now, we need to realize that there is so much more to every situation than what meets the eye. Rav Yehuda Hadass tells, who would tell his students, that we all need only to live our lives the proper way, and then Hashem will direct us to where we need to be to fulfill our purpose in this world. Sometimes, though, we need encouragement to help us overcome life's challenges. And this is when the concept of Gilgulim can help us, by reminding us that there is so much we do not see, and that one day everything will become clear. On a personal note, this mindset once helped me get through a very difficult period. I once worked as an 8th grade Rebbe in a certain yeshiva. It was just my third year as an educator, and I was teaching an especially challenging class. 8th grade boys are always difficult to manage, and teaching this class in particular was a frustrating and gut-wrenching experience. One day, I thought to myself, perhaps in a previous life, I caused a group of men to waste a lot of time. Maybe I took them to the racetrack or brought them to a casino. I have therefore been sent here to spend 10 grueling months trying to force them, who have returned in the form of these eighth graders, to learn Torah. This reframing is something we can do to help us remain calm and composed in any situation. For example, if somebody dents our car and drives away, this does not seem fair, but it is likely that a score from a previous life is being settled. Once we trust that Hashem always has our best interest in mind, even when we cannot see how, life is so much easier to handle. While that was a large chapter, the stories and message, the lesson that we take from it is very, very important. Sometimes life is not fair. It doesn't make sense, and we can't understand what's happening. But if we stop and we remember, we look at the greater picture, and that is that we don't know what the greater picture is. And we could begin to understand or a little bit get this idea that Hashem has it all figured out. And if we were to see the back end, if we were to see the script that the whole world is running by, it would all make perfect sense. If we keep that in mind, we'll be able to go through our days much more easier, much more calm, and much more close to Hashem.